Thank you, Katrina. That's a beautiful song. And if you have your Bibles, keep them open there to Luke chapter 12. We're going to stay in Luke chapter 12 today. Thank you, visitors, for being here today. Have any of you ever been to one of those downtown department stores where there's like six or seven floors, kind of like Macy's or Marshall Field? It used to be Marshall Fields, but somebody gave me this the other day. It says there's a new store where women can go to shop for a husband. The store has six floors, but you can only visit each floor one time. Each floor you go up, the value increases. So you can choose any item on the floor. If you're a college student, make sure you have a chaperone with you, though. Anyways, any item on the floor, and if you go up as many floors as you want, but you cannot go down. So a woman went up to find a husband. The sign on the first floor read, "These men have jobs." That sounded good, but she decided to go up a little bit more. Sign on the second floor read, "These men have jobs and love kids." Good. That was sounded pretty good, but she decided to go on. The sign on the third floor said, "These men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking." Wow, that sounds good, but she was compelled to keep going. The sign on the fourth floor said, "These men have jobs, love kids, are extremely good looking, and help with the housework." Mercy, she could hardly stand it, but she had to go on. So the sign on the fifth floor said, "These men have jobs, love kids, are extremely good looking, help with the housework, and have a very strong romantic streak." That sounded fantastic, but her curiosity got the best of her. She just had to find out what was on that sixth floor. When she stepped off the escalator, the sign read, "You are visitor number 31,654,234. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please." I'm not talking about my wife, but how many husbands can agree to that? No, don't raise your hand. I'm seeing. Mrs. Hassey said to me, she said, "Jack, we all know the Bible. Just tell stories. Don't talk about the Bible." No. But anyways, we are going to look at the Bible, though. Luke chapter 12, and if you look with me in verse 1, there's a phrase there that Jesus was giving some advice here to a group of people. And if your Bible has the words of Jesus in red, you'll see in this chapter, most of this chapter is in red in the words of Jesus. But at the beginning there, it says there was an innumerable multitude of people. So there was a lot of people with this group. And I wrote down here, there are a lot of voices in this world. There's false doctrine. There's accusers. There's lots of people who are crying for your attention. There's haters. There's media. There's mainstream media. There's atheists. There's agnostics. There's backbiters. And this little phrase here I underline, an innumerable multitude of people. There's people that live for money, people that live for pleasure, people who live for popularity, people who follow social trends, and there's Pharisees, and there's hypocrites. We're going to come back to the verse in just a minute, but if you can put the first slide up there on the screen today, I've got a picture of, these are a couple loaves of bread. Years ago, when I was in junior high, my grandfather passed away, and there was a period of time where my dad let me go up to northern Minnesota and spend a little bit of time with my grandma, and she would make homemade bread. And I remember when I saw this picture, it kind of reminds me the bread that she would put in these pans. And my Aunt Becky Symes, she still makes homemade bread like that. And they put yeast in there. And that word yeast, there's a process there with fermentation that causes the bread to rise up, the leaven, as the Bible talks about. And when we take the Lord's Supper, of course, we take the juice and the bread. We take unleavened bread because it's a symbol of no fermentation. Leaven is a picture of sin in the Bible. And then years later, you know, back in the 90s, they came out with those bread machines. Everybody would buy them for like $100, you know. And I think now you could probably pick them up at the thrift store for like a quarter. But it's when half of the world went gluten-free, and so now the bread machines are not as popular. But bread, there's nothing like fresh, hot bread, and I really enjoyed that as a kid and when my grandma would make homemade bread. But let's put the next slide up there. I think I might be able to advance it here, but let's read that verse. There's a little phrase in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 12. Let's read that verse together. Ready? "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And it's talking about this dough, that little bit of fermentation, that little bit of leaven, it affects the whole loaf and the whole, I put down there, puffed up. It becomes, another definition for it is that which causes transformation. And I don't know about you, but sin transforms us. Sin, when there's a little bit of leaven in the lump, it says the whole loaf gets affected. In the same way in our lives, I want Jesus to transform my life. I don't want sin to be the transforming factor. And Jesus, you know, he said there's all these multitudes of people, Luke chapter 12, they were following, and there's all these voices in the world. And we can kind of relate today, the day and age we live in, there's lots of voices out there. And he said, but there's one thing I want you to be careful of, and that's the leaven. It could be false doctrine, but it's the voices in the world, the Pharisees, and it's the hypocrisy. And the Pharisees were full of hypocrisy, and there was pride. We just read earlier with Brother Eggers, the truth will be revealed someday, what the truth is. But there's a lot of Pharisees and hypocrisy. And Jesus said to the people here, we're going to just kind of stay in Luke chapter 12, the whole lesson today, but we're going to look at a few pieces of advice, some pointers, you could say, that Jesus Christ gave to all the multitudes. He said, here's some ways that you can keep from being a Pharisee, keep away from the hypocrisy. Verse 4 and verse 5 there, he goes on to talk about that we should fear God and not fear man. And in other words, don't fear somebody who can take your life. You know, they might be able to, if you go to war, or, you know, you might lose your life in this world, but fear the person who's in charge of your soul, who can take care of your eternity. And that's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in charge of our soul. He's in charge of our eternity. Yesterday, Jason Clifford and I got to lead two people to the Lord. I think Heather is here today, but also her husband, Bennett. They both trusted Christ in Highland, and they both were in the Navy. And we got to go through and lead them to the Lord and share the salvation story with them. The truth, though, we should fear the one who can hold our soul for eternity, not just our fellow mankind here. There's a lot of Pharisees, lots of voices in this world. And in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says here, let me give you some advice. Beware of the leaven of Pharisees. Fear God and not man. And each of you, you are important to God. So we're going to go through a couple verses here. I'll go to the next slide. God is concerned about the particulars in your life, the little details. Luke chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7. You can look up on the slide or you can look in your Bible, but let's read verses 6 and 7 out loud together. Ready? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The sparrow is one of the smallest creatures, and back then it was probably one of the least important birds. But what Jesus was telling the people is that the sparrow is not forgotten by God. You are not forgotten by God. God knows the number of hairs on your head. And just remember that this morning, Jesus has given us some admonition here, some advice in the Bible. And he says, I know the number of hairs on your head. You are of more value than a sparrow. If he can keep track of the sparrow, he knows exactly where you are. I think sometimes kids feel like their mother has eyes in the back of her head. They can see what's going on. And, you know, that there's an intuition there that God gives to a mother. My kids, the things that Sarah's picky about, I'm not necessarily picky about, and the things that I'm picky about, she might not be, so our kids just don't have a chance sometimes, but there's things that everybody can be, maybe have a pet peeve or be picky about, but there's the Lord Jesus is particular. He knows where his children are. He knows where you are today, every single one of you sitting in the room, and God knows where he has his eye on the sparrow. Mrs. Howells used to sing that little song, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The one who calls the stars by name, he is mindful of me, and he's mindful of you. Now, don't let all the voices in this world tell you that you're not valuable to God. There's a lot of voices in the world, like I mentioned, lots of voices, and Jesus is saying, don't listen to the Pharisees, don't listen to the hypocrites, don't listen to all these voices, but listen to me. You're more valuable than a sparrow. You're valuable to God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and God loves every single one of you today. If you're here today for the first time, I know we have some visitors, and you've never developed that relationship with God. You've never experienced hearing the voice of God. I'd like, at the end of the service today, you could come forward, and there will be some people who can share with you through the Bible how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how you can realize that God loved you and that he gives us a home in heaven, and you can trust him today. So first of all, number one, Jesus tells us God is concerned about the little details. He's concerned about the particulars in your life. Let's go to the next slide. Next, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Something happens. After you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And there's something that happens there. We have the Holy Ghost. And we can, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we can have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. We can commune. We can ask for Holy Spirit fullness. Or we can block out. We can listen to the other voices in this world. We can shun the Spirit. We can block out the Spirit. Earlier this week, I had lunch with Mike Borkstrom. He's here this morning. He went to Hammond Baptist years ago, back in the 90s, and then kind of, he was telling me this week that he kind of got away from the Lord, and there was a period of time as a young adult where he always knew that God was right there, kind of like right on his shoulder. He knew that God was with him, but he had never had that relationship with God. And there was one day where the Lord just became very real to him, and he believes that's probably when he got saved and trusted Christ as a Savior, and it was a journey back to the Lord. And we can utilize the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit, and God is with us, and sometimes we don't have that relationship. We're listening to all the other voices in the world, but it should be our goal today to get that Holy Spirit power from the Lord. If you can put that next slide up there. This was probably close to 10 years ago. I came into the kitchen one morning at our house, and one of my boys had left a little sketch on the counter, and I read it that morning. It said, once upon a time, there was a boy who read his Bible. Then when he read it, and it talked to him, and I thought, wow, that's kind of convicting right there. A little boy, 11-year-old boy, would write that. The Bible was speaking to him, and it kind of convicted me. I hope that that'll always be my story, that the Word of God can speak to me. There's lots of voices in this world. You can leave that slide up there. Lots of voices. The Holy Ghost teaches us through his word. And let me ask you today, how is your relationship with the word of God? How is your relationship with the Spirit of God? And earlier, there's some verses there in the same passage, verses 8 and 9. It talks about how we can either confess before man. Jesus said we can either confess him before men, or we can deny him. Now, we want to make sure the voices, what voices are you listening to today? Are we denying the Lord, or are we professing our faith in him? Are we asking for his Spirit, asking for his word? Don't deny the Lord today. Ask him for his presence. Ask him to speak to you through his word. Ask him for his Holy Spirit power. So Jesus goes on. So the first thing he talks about, of course, he starts off warning us about the Pharisees. He tells us that he's concerned about the little details, the particulars. Then he tells us that we can have Holy Spirit power. Then let's put the next verse up there, Luke 12, verse 15. And let's read that one out loud together. Ready? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He goes on to warn us about our perspective on possessions. And he says here, beware of covetousness. And I think I looked up that word a little bit, and one Bible scholar said that there's a perplexity and a complexity that comes with possessions. I think I just call that stress, you know, stress sometimes, but a perplexity and a complexity. Sometimes there's the greater reward, the greater responsibility, and there's more things that come with possessions. But what the Bible says here is that we should be laying up treasures for God's kingdom and not for our own. I'm going to look here, Luke chapter 12. I'm not going to put this on the screen here, but there's a little parable that Jesus tells them. He says, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be when thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And what he said is, you know, I'm going to tear down these barns. I don't have enough. I have so much stuff, so much possessions. I got to tear down my barns and build bigger. And sometimes we just need to tell ourselves, you know, enough is enough, and maybe simplify our life. But it says, so he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. We want to make sure that we're not sacrificing our family, our ministry, for possessions or prestige, and all of these things. This is just a parable that Jesus said. Make sure we have the right perspective on our possessions. Then the next thing he goes on, and we're moving right along here. Let's put the next verse up on the screen. There's verse 28. We'll read it in just a minute. Jesus said, you're worried about the treasures on this earth. You're worried about possessions. But he said, let me tell you how I will take care of you. Let me tell you about my provision. And Jesus wants to provide for us, and he takes care of us. Luke chapter 12, I'll read a couple verses, verse 22. He said to his disciples, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Don't worry about more clothes. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye the thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And let's read the verse that's up on the screen together. Ready? If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And he provides for us. He gives us his provision. If God can take care of feeding the ravens, and he can take care of growing the grass, he can take care of the beautiful lilies, it says, more beautiful than all of Solomon's kingdom, don't you think he can take care of me and you? And it's such a blessing. The end of that verse, it ends with the word faith. And I think it comes down to a faith issue. We need to have faith in God. Lee Robertson used to preach all the time when he would hold out his finger towards the end of his life. It kind of be at a curve when he'd come to the college chapel. And I remember him saying often, have faith in God, have faith in God. And I think today Jesus is saying, I'm concerned about the particulars in your life. There's a lot of voices out there, lots of people crying for your attention. But I'm concerned. You're more important to me than a sparrow. I'll give you my Holy Spirit. Make sure we have the right perspective on our possessions. I'll take care of you. I'll provide. He gives us provision. And then he says to look at our priorities. Luke chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And verse 30, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put the next verse up there, and we'll read verse 34 out. Let's read this phrase together out loud. Ready? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he basically, God is saying here, to seek the kingdom of God, the things of eternal value, and where your treasure is. If you look at where do you spend money, look at your checkbook, look at your debit card, look at your credit card, and where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And that where your treasure is, that's where you're following, and we want to make sure our priorities are pointed towards the kingdom of God. And there's so much in this chapter that Jesus is telling us. There's lots of voices out there, but are we listening today to God's voice? Are we letting his voice speak to us? And then just two more things and we'll be done here. Next is to understand your purpose. Understand your purpose. If you look towards the end of the chapter, verses 40 through 47, he talks about, Peter asked him, he said, Lord, this parable you're telling us, is this just for a few people? Is this just for some of us? Or is this for all of us? And we should all be about the Lord's business. Pastor says often, we should be watching, we should be waiting, we should be working. Verse 45, it says that he tells a little story about the Lord is going to return someday. Verse 40 says, be therefore ready, the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And there's a story here about when the master was going to come back, and he said, you know, I think I'm just going to go eat and drink and get drunk. And then, but he was going to be known as an unprofitable servant when the Lord came back. But the opposite, in verse 47, there was the servant who knew the Lord's will. He prepared and he did it. And I wrote down those three words, to know, to prepare, and to do. And God has a purpose for everyone. Everyone here today, every one of us, God has a purpose for your life. Let's put the next verse up there. And let's read this verse from John Well, we can read that one first, Luke 12:48b. Let's read that together. Ready? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now, some of you have grown up in the church, some of you have not, but the Lord has blessed everyone here with so much, and God has a divine plan, a divine purpose for everyone. And next verse, let's read this one together. Ready? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And you might think, well, I'm not called of God. I'm just, you know, trying to mind my own business. But the truth is, God's chosen every single one of us. He's chosen us to bring forth fruit. And these are the words of Jesus. This is for all of us. He was telling Peter, my sister Yvonne. Sometimes we say, you know, my plans. I thought I would be at a certain point in life by now, or my plans aren't working out. And my sister Yvonne, years ago, she grew up here and. Up until about sixth grade, she was totally a normal straight-A student and just involved with the school, just a bright girl. And then she started having some signs of mental illness, and they weren't exactly sure. My parents didn't know. They took her to many doctors and took her across the country. They went to Dallas and many other hospitals, just trying to figure out all across the country what the situation was. And they found some chemical imbalances, some different things, and she was on some different medicines. And in junior high, my mom had a deteriorating lung condition. And so Yvonne got alone one day and she wrote this little song called Jesus Gives Us Trials That Are Hard to Bear. And she was at the time, Mrs. Nancy Auclair was her sixth grade teacher. And Brother Zachary helped Yvonne put this song to music, and they published the song. And Jesus gives us trials just because he cares. We don't understand why he gives them to us, but Jesus wants us closer to him. And we all think, you know, there's a certain timeline in life that we're supposed to follow, you know, go to grade school and then go to junior high, go to high school, go to college, get a job, get married. And sometimes the world tells us that there's a certain ladder or a certain timeline. But for Yvonne, God's time frame was different. And God has you right where you're at for a reason. And later, many years later, Yvonne, as a young adult, she would be in different hospitals and trying to get figure out her health situation. My dad ended up helping down in Arkansas, help at a Bible college down there, and they found a Christian group home that was good. It was a good situation for Yvonne to get to be in, and she got to be in this home, and she would get to know some of the other people in this group home. And one day there was a lady that Yvonne became real good friends with. She ministered to this lady in this group home, and a lot of the people in this group home had mental illness. And she ministered to this lady, and later on, the lady ended up passing away. Yvonne had the liberty to be able to go to church, and there was a local church there. She had a bus captain named Brother Tom who took her to church. And the family of this lady that was in this group home, they reached out, and they said, there was a lady named Yvonne, and could she speak at our daughter's funeral? And so the bus captain, Brother Tom, he was able to coordinate that and pick Yvonne up, and Yvonne came and gave the plan of salvation to the family of this loved one from this group home. And Brother Tom was there, and he testified that three people raised their hand for salvation after she shared the testimony. My dad was talking to Brother David Gibbs about that, and Brother Gibbs said, you know, Brother Judson, if we would have gone to that group home, they would have stopped us right on the doorstep. He said, but God sent a missionary to minister to this lady, and God sent his love through Yvonne. And sometimes we look at the purpose. We wonder, God, why have you put me here? But God has a purpose for each of us, and we should be watching, waiting, working. We need to know, prepare, and do God's will. A song called Brighten the Corner Where You Are was written by a lady named Ina Mae Dooley Ogden. She was born in 1872 in Rossville, Illinois. After attending college, she taught in the Illinois schools from 1892 to 1900. Early in life, Mrs. Ogden was a gifted speaker and was selected to travel with a special group, which she had dreamed of doing. However, after her father's illness due to a result of an automobile accident in 1912, just before she was about to leave on the tour, it forced her to abandon her plans in order to care for him at home. Overcoming anger and resentment from this tragedy in 1913, she completed an encouraging poem entitled Brighten the Corner Where You Are to show how one can serve the Lord in many different circumstances, or in other words, to make the best of where you find yourself. The tune was composed by her friend, Charles H. Gabriel, and was first introduced in a crusade at the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, later that year. Bright in the corner where you are is a hymn we can surely identify with and live by. Many of us, at one time or another, or like Mrs. Ogden, who had a heart to do God's work and be a part of the ministry of bringing in souls into the kingdom of God, but because of circumstances in life, had to abandon our plans and to stay back and do the necessary task of looking after an ailing parent, sibling, or child. Now, that should be our goal today. To wherever you are, God has you here for a reason. There's a lot of voices in this world. He's got a purpose for what you're here for today. That little song, do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you, now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. Let's sing that little chorus together if you know that. Brighten the corner, ready? Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. Sing that again. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose, and no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master's seal. Know that trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so, but it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are for a reason, beloved, because there is a God. And God has a special purpose, a special plan for everyone here. And the Bible says comparing yourselves among themselves is not wise. And God has a divine purpose. You can brighten the corner where you are. All the voices in this world are crying for our attention, but I want to ask you today, are you listening to God's voice? Are you listening to his voice? And he has a purpose. He has a plan. And then lastly, I'm going to, if you can put the next slide up there. And we're just going to leave that up there, that this with little piece of paper, this little sketch I found on the kitchen counter that one of my boys wrote years ago, is God, are you letting God speak to you? I'm going to read here Luke chapter 12, verse 58, that later on at the end of the chapter, it talks about diligence, that it takes diligence to have peace with God, to have peace with others. And there's a lot of wisdom. At verse 56, it says people predict the weather. They're concerned about discerning the weather. And so even those of us in the room, we want to see what the forecast is. Is it going to rain? Are we going to have tornadoes or whatever? And then at the end of that chapter, verse 56, it says, but it's more important, people don't discern the time. They don't understand the times we're in. And there's a lot of division in this world. There's a lot of voices speaking. And make sure that we go take the diligence, the Bible says, to make peace. So lastly here, have peace with God, have peace with others. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And if you can't get along with yourself, if you can't have peace in your own life, your peace in your own heart, and you can't have that relationship with God, then how are we going to have peace with other people around us? And that should be one of our goals here. It takes diligence. Make peace with God today. Make peace with others. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going back to the beginning. It says, an innumerable multitude of people. There was this innumerable multitude, lots and lots of voices. There's the mainstream media, there's social media, there's haters, there's so many voices in this world. But what voices are you listening to today? What is Jesus trying to tell you? Let his spirit speak to you. When you listen to the voice of God, you understand your purpose. When you listen to the voice of God, you realize that you're more important to him than a sparrow. You realize that he's concerned about the particulars, the little details. When you listen to the voice of God, he gives you his Holy Spirit. When you listen to the voice of God, you have the right perspective about your possessions and about his provision. When you listen to the voice of God, you have the right priorities. When you listen to the voice of God, you have peace, peace with God and peace with man. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you allowing God to speak to you today? That little paper there, once upon a time, there was a boy who read his Bible. Then when he read it, and it talked to him. Now let's make sure Jesus gives us much admonition throughout Luke chapter 12 to listen to his voice. He tells us to have peace. He tells us that he's concerned about the sparrow. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He gives us his Holy Spirit power. Are you asking God for his voice? Are you asking for his Holy Spirit today? He's concerned about the perspective, our perspective on our possessions. He gives us provision. He wants us to have the right priorities, and he wants each of us to understand his purpose, to brighten the corner where we are. And are you letting God speak to you today? Let's all stand, and in just a few minutes, we're going to go into a time where people can come forward and pray. And if this is your first time today and you've never experienced that relationship with Jesus Christ and you've never come to know the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and you like to settle that and know for sure that someday you can have a home in heaven, we'd like for you to come forward, and we have people who are ready to share with you how you can start that relationship with Jesus Christ. And others today, maybe you can come forward, or you can pray right where you're at, and maybe between you and God, you want to ask God, I want to listen to your voice today. I want to listen to the voice of God through your word. I want to ask for the Spirit of God. Brother Howells used to say years ago that he yields to the Holy Spirit seven times a day. And let's take a few moments now. We'll have an invitation. And let's do business with God. Let's allow God to speak to us today.